You're good.
Well, good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
Ah, yes, somebody was paying attention. So, we're doing something just a little different, all right? So that I know that you're actually awake, okay? So, I'm going to say, good morning, beloved people of God. You say, good morning, Padre. You're starting to come back. And then I go, did you know that you were loved by God? And you say, yes. But sometimes I forget. Thanks for reminding me. And then you get to minister to me. You say, good morning, Padre. And then I say, good morning. And then you ask me, did I know if I was loved by God? And I say, yes. Sometimes I forget. Thanks for reminding me. You got it? No? Well, let's try the first part. Ready? Okay. Good morning, beloved people of God.
Good morning, Padre.
People of God, did you know that you were loved by God?
Yes.
But sometimes I forget. Thanks for reminding me.
Good morning, Padre.
Good morning.
Did you know you were loved by God?
Yes. Sometimes I forget. Thanks for reminding me. So a number of years ago, as a wee little lad, I was perhaps typecast to be John the Baptist. The wild man, John the Baptist. So I got to stand in the back of my Episcopal church at Trinity, New Orleans, and go, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. And my rector at the time said, Joseph, this will be the only time you get to scream at the top of your lungs in church. Make it a good one. Little typecasting, I said. So, a number of years ago, a survey was done of a favorite hymnody. And what I found was interesting was there's this hymn that apparently across all denominations, there's one hymn that we all love. And it goes a little like this. You may have heard it.
Amazing gift, how sweet. The sound.
You've heard it before, right?
Yeah.
Amazing gift. Okay, folks, y'all are either asleep or you don't know your hymn. Because that ain't how that hymn goes. Am I right, maestro? Thank you. The choir is alive and well. Amazing gift. Grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's apparently one of our greatest, most beloved hymns. And I like the word grace. But what's interesting about that word grace is that if you're a confirmand, you know I love words. That word grace in English misses the connotation in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, when the word grace is used, it denotes a gift. A gift. Amazing gift. Gift. Usually when we in our regular parlance use that word, we like to use it and say, oh, she's such a gracious dancer, which means she's pretty good. Or we go, oh, he's an excellent host, he's so gracious, or she's such a gracious host, meaning they put on a good spread. But when we use the word gift, something changes. Gift in the season of Advent. Gift. What's the preacher trying to do? Well, a number of years ago at the monastery, one of the elderly monks got really, really sick. So sick that I had to check in on him every single morning. And you have to know that he was a chain smoker back in the day. An absolute chain smoker. So when he talked like this. That was supposed to be funny. Thank you. He talked like this. And he's about like yay tall, and we call him Raffy. Because he's just so cute. So Raffy was him every morning. And so one morning I woke up and knocked on his door, and he goes, "Come." Not come in, but come. And so I open the door and I come in, and there he is with a t-shirt on, trying to put on his socks, and I go, "Oh my goodness, this is a private moment. I don't need to be seeing this." And he goes, "Amazing kid." So a few days later, I go knocking on Brother Raff's door. God! Open the door, and you have to know that the elderly monks were the only ones who had a private bathroom. The rest of us had to share. So there Brother Raff is, doing his business. The door is slightly ajar, and I see just these little feet dangling, and I'm going, "Oh my goodness, Raff, did you just close the door?" And he goes, "Young people," closes the door. So a few weeks later, I knock on his door, God, and I open it, and there he is without a strip of clothing, and I'm going, "Oh my, Raff!" And he says to me, "I have nothing to hide." Amazing kid. What in the world is that old monk teaching? What is he teaching? You see, Raff has lived his entire life, his entire vocation, with the awareness that everything is a gift from God, that every breath is a gift from God, that every morning that he is able to see the sun, it is a gift of God. In monastic life, the monks like to talk about this word called humility. Does anybody know what the word humility means? That was a real question.
To what?
To be humble before God. That's a good one. Yes.
To be teachable.
To be teachable. I like that. Good, 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 good. What else? Come on, people.
To recognize your place.
That right there. That's the definition. The definition of humility in monastic life is to live in the truth. To live in the truth. The truth that I am a beloved child of God and that I'm also a sinner. The truth that I am so incredibly generous, and the truth that I can be as conniving as the next person. The truth that I am sweet as pie. And the truth that if you cross me, God help me. You see, Raff lives in the truth that he is who he is and God loves him unconditionally. Now, prophets are really, really annoying.
You agree?
Yeah. Nobody likes to hear the word of the prophet because the prophets always call us to this scary word that particularly white people are afraid of. It's the word repent. Repent. Luke, repent. That is scary. Yeah, it's kind of scary. But remember that in scripture when that word grace is used, it connotes a gift. And when it does that, what it's trying to tell us is that there is a God who is merciful, who is a loving mother, father, that loves you just as you be. And so when you repent, when you return, when you turn around, when the metanoia, I am seminary trained. That's why you pay for your preachers to go to seminary. Metanoia, to return back to the one who loves you. All of you, conniving you. you know, I think the biggest sin we commit is the sin of pride. Mm-hmm. The sin of pride says, I don't need God. The sin that says, I am not doing wrong, I'm just doing what I have to do to get by. The sin that says, oh, they did blank, so I do blank. Fill in the gap. Sin, brokenness, repent. Now it doesn't sound so scary because I'm returning back to the one who loves me. Amazing gift. That's gospel. That's gospel. Amazing gift. So that nude elderly monk and his raspy voice, and he says, I have nothing to hide. That, my friends, is humility. That, my friends, is knowing who loves you deeply and returning back to his arms. But you actually have to admit that you need it. Grace, a gift, you get it on no merit of your own. In God's eyes, there is no such thing as a self-made woman. In God's eyes, there is no such thing as a self-made man. In God's eyes, there is only a beloved child that God longs to have back on God's bosom. That, if you let it in, will pierce your heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. Amazing gift, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Let that grace, that gift,